And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is lack of unification of people of conscience. And I have my guest Bill from Indiana on the line talking about how important it is for us to do this. Like I always try to say to people, first of all, you have to get your brains working. In order to do that, you have to detoxify and learn what's destroying your brain function and stop doing it so that you can think, first of all. And then you have to actually do something to stop the monsters. What I try to tell people, because I have many questions that can't be answered either. One of my big questions is, why is this evil being allowed to happen? You know, there is no answer to that question, and I have a problem with that because my son's being destroyed as we speak, and there's nothing I can do because the court condones it, and basically people aren't doing a darn thing. So the way I try to look at things is, as far as I'm concerned, the major message that's important to me is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, if you're actually aiding and abetting the psychopath, if you have sold your soul, if you can proclaim to be a Christian, a Baha'i, a Muslim, whatever faith, and you are working for the enemy, if you are stealing children, if you are killing people in the hospital, if you are stealing children in the courts, whatever you're doing, you are actually working for the other side. And, you know, people tell me all the time, well, I got to put a paycheck on the table. Well, that's selling your soul for cash. That puts you in the camp of the enemy, and that makes you my enemy. Because silence is consent, and even worse, working for, you know, the monsters is aiding and abetting. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Dr. Carly. Let me back up a little bit, because you commented about a lot of stuff there. Firstly, personally, I quite agree with you on this. Actually, everything you said, but specifically this here. That is the urgency and the necessity of the learning the truth, and to learn the truth to whatever measure that we're able to handle it. And for us to learn the truth, I'll just speak personally for me. For me to have learned more truth, to learn the truth that I have heretofore, I had to have a clear mind. And, you know, we've been clients of yours for a while. You've helped me and my wife detox from magician's prescriptions. And as a result of that, my mind is clear. The prescriptions I were on were giving me debilitating side effects. I had hand tremors. I couldn't write anymore because my hand shook like I was standing in front of the devil himself, shaking like a leaf. My hand would not stay still when I wrote. I had headaches all the time. I had headaches behind my eyeballs, my eyesight. I had pilot's grade eyesight. That eyesight deteriorated as a result of the prescription drugs. Through your detoxification, which I am so grateful that I was able to do, my mind, I'll let you and the audience be the judge of that. I will say, my hand tremors, Dr. Carly, are gone. My headaches are gone. My eyesight, Dr. Carly, is improving. And best of all, the detox paid for itself because I am saving that monthly $60 or whatever the number is now that I was spending on my prescription drugs. The thing is a self-paying for thing. And I am very grateful that I found you over on the other place about 5 years ago. And I just wanted to give that personal testimonial because, you know what, I know your website says, says that accomplishments and things like that. But all the years I've heard you, maybe I missed a show or two somewhere, maybe a lot of shows when someone called in and said it. But over the 5 years, I honestly can't recollect anyone giving a testimonial to the efficacy and the efficiency and the goodness of your protocol, and I'm just putting it out there for anyone who is taking prescription drugs or has some sort of ailment and they're not getting relief. You know what? Maybe that dog don't hunt, and you need to get another dog. So that's what I'd like to say about that. I wanted to do a real-life testimonial because I and my wife have benefited, and our lives are improved, and our quality of life is improved, and we are on a better path now because we've had the good fortune of listening to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do have a few testimonials. I think there's more on drcarly.com than there is on reversingvaccine-induceddiseases.com. But you see, one of my problems is that people are so filled with fear that even when I start to work with people and they'll tell me, oh, if you can reverse my child's autism, I'll be shouting it from the rooftops. Once it's over and their child's autism has been reversed, if I ask them to do a testimonial, they'll come up with some excuse. Oh, I really don't want to get involved, and you know, I know my phone number may be traced by the you know, the minions, whatever. People are afraid, and that's the problem. But obviously, I would not have sacrificed everything I have to do what I do if it didn't work. And in fact, most of my clients come from referrals from other people that have gone through the protocol, but yes, in fact, sadly, most people are afraid to give testimonials, and I've just learned to accept that. That's how it is. I have lots of written testimonials, but I'm not even going to waste my time putting those up, because in my opinion, you know, websites that have hundreds of personal testimonials, they can make up anything they want. I can make up anything I want. So there's no point in even putting written testimonials up. It has to come from the people themselves. But as I said, unfortunately, they're too scared.
I can't fathom that degree, even the concept of fear itself, because I know who I am. I know who is who in the zoo, and I know who is who above. Because of that, I have no fear. I am like you. If they take me, finally take me, then I get my vacation from this hell on earth.
Right.
In the meantime, my DNA propels me to do good to the extent that I can with the people that I have in my life. I take care of what's in front of me. That's all I can do. I kill me today, and I know I'll stand in good judgment.
Right.
And you know what? That's what I tell them. They come upon me. You ready to be judged? I'm ready to be judged. Let's do this.
Right. But you also, you don't, see, you're a very humble man, so you don't really, you know, stress that you also try to teach others. You try to reach out to young people in whatever way you can. You have, you know, your own mission to try to at least start to get them thinking. You know, unfortunately, as you know, this pit of hell that we live in, there's so much to comprehend. You can't unleash it all at once. People just can't handle it. You know,
no, it's like, no, I consider Dr. Carly like trying to build a mountain one grain at a time.
Right, exactly. And especially with the people in the military, I get so sick of, you know, various stations, and I just watch them to monitor them, see what they're feeding the sheep, like especially CNN and this HLN. They're constantly having little segments where they're honoring the heroes. Well, excuse me, just because somebody's stupid enough to sign up for the military and go over there to kill the people the Zionists want killed, how does that make them a hero? Just because they got some Purple Heart or a badge of honor? It's sickening.
And killing children and killing women and killing old people and killing non-combatants, there's no honor in that.
Exactly. It's a total psyop. But like I said, that's why we have all these soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, and because obviously they do have a conscience. And I'm hoping they'll watch this new show that's coming out in September. last resort. Maybe it'll give a few of them some ideas. That would be very special.
Yeah, I'm skeptical that there would be anything honorable and righteous in something spawned by, doesn't Disney own ABC?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it'll plant the seed in their minds. Just the whole idea that the government is killing their own, because that's exactly what's happening. Yeah.
Yes, and that's what we have to do. We have to be the laborers to plant the seed in the ground. And if these people in all their tricksiness think they can do something, but if they're planting seeds that we can be used for good, well, God said He would even use evil to do His will.
Right. Exactly. And I hear the music. Okay, there's music. We're going to break. We'll be back after these messages. And we have a caller that's been on for some time. I don't know, maybe they're just listening, but I'll bring the caller on in the next segment if they have anything to say. Okay, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is lack of unification of people of conscience, with my guest Phil from Indiana. I just want to mention a couple things quickly, and then we'll bring on the caller that's been on the line. I was listening to a Book Notes. It's a show on C-SPAN 2 where they have different authors talking about their books. And there was this minion, his name is Daryl Johnson, who is a former DHS, Department of Homeland Security, security analyst. He's the author of Right Wing Resurgence, and he gave a definition of Christian identity. He said it's a racist religion that thinks whites are the true Israelites. So I thought that was kind of funny that, you know, he's claiming that the Christian identity movement is a racist religion. Look what the Jews are doing. Then on August 9th, I was watching Jon Stewart. I try to watch him and Stephen Colbert when they're on, because this is one of the highest levels of disinfo and psyops maneuvers, because they're trying to get people to laugh at the insanity that's occurring around them. And on August 9th, he had a woman on, Joanna Brooks, who's an author of Book of Mormon Girl, and she was talking about Mormonism, how the founder was 14 years old, and he went into the forest and asked some hard questions, and that's how Mormonism started. So then she started asking hard questions because she was a Mormon, and she got excommunicated. And Jon Stewart's very interesting reply was, he said, Mormons need to do workarounds, like the Jews who want to eat bacon, they call themselves Reformed. So that was a very interesting admission, kind of, you know, just one of those Freudian slips from Jon Stewart. Because that's, you know, that's the Jews' specialty, is just twist and spin things so that they can do whatever they want and call it Jewish. And lastly, I had mentioned before, but this is so important, on July 30th, Hillary Clinton was a speaker invited by the Carnegie Institute of International Peace to give a talk on international religious freedoms. And she doesn't come out and say it exactly like I'm going to say it, but you can read it between the lines, where she basically said that religion is a national security issue, and that governments can use religion to light a match where they want to stoke a fire for their own purposes. So I found where that is. You can go to cspanvideo.org and just type in program number 307-322-1. That's program 307-322-1. It's under International Religious Freedom for July 30th. And I really suggest people listen to that, because it just goes to show how this witch is admitting that they need religion to help them foment the fires that they're stoking in the Middle East. This is one of their very important psyops maneuvers, and this is what they're doing. Okay, we have a caller on the line from 804. Are you still there, caller? Do you want to make a comment, or are you just listening? Hello, caller. Okay, I guess they're just listening. Okay, what else would you like to discuss, Bill?
Okay, Dr. Carley, I guess I would say this here. People of good conscience, you have nothing to fear. From my heritage, I know that when Isaac died, Jacob and Esau, right before he died, on his deathbed, Jacob and Esau both promised to Isaac and to God and to heaven above that they would not take malicious blows against one another. For Jacob, such a vow was second nature. For Esau, it wasn't. I think the day that Isaac was put and turned into the ground, Esau, at his Canaanite children's behest, amassed an army of themselves and 4,000 other Confederates, and they marched upon the citadel of Jacob's. Jacob, his 12 sons, and their 200 servants were surrounded by 4,000 plus warriors intent on wiping their seed from the face of the earth. The three sons and 50 servants, each man a wall, and they went out in turn and did combat against probably 1,000 on each side. They were wiped out. One side was completely wiped out. Another side was completely wiped out. A third side was completely wiped out. The fourth side, where sons of Esau were, they were routed, and they fled back to Mount Seir. They were pursued, and they had them, and they had them, and their knees were bowed, and their necks were exposed. The sons messaged back to Jacob, "What should we do?" Jacob said, "Render them our servants." So they were given a reprieve, and they were put under the yoke of Jacob back then. The point there is that good, staunch, righteous men confronted large odds, and they were victorious. I don't think one died, if I remember correctly. The message there is, do not be afraid. When Moses brought our ancestors out of Egyptian bondage and crossed the Red Sea, as recorded by Josephus, the next day in the morning they were celebrating, they were partying, they were praising God, and they were so happy over the miracle that happened before their eyes. That morning, all the accoutrements of war from the Egyptian army, the spears, the javelins, the shields, all the other accoutrements, washed up upon the shores, as recorded by Josephus, not Bill, Josephus. It was recorded that God told Moses, "Never again will my people be unarmed." We sojourned there. We went to Canaan land. Moses was commanded to take the land, to eliminate the foul beings that were there. Moses, if I recall correctly, dispatched 40 men to go reconnoiter the area and report back to him so that he may devise a battle plan for the armies of Israel. The 40 men went. They came back. All of them, except Caleb and Joshua, were afraid to go fight because there were giants there. Caleb and Joshua wanted to fight. They believed and trusted in God. They wanted to do righteous battle for him. The other 38 refused to obey Moses' instruction. That is why they were sentenced to 40 years into the wilderness, for disobeying God's command. 40 years later, they were going there again. I think Moses passed the day before. The 38 cowards who were afraid to wage battle died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb led the warriors of Jacob Israel into Canaan. Victory was theirs. They fought something much greater than what we're confronted with today. And they were brave and they were victorious. They trusted in God. Oh, we're not facing something like that today. We have no excuse to be cowards. For us to be here today, our fathers, our grandfathers, all the way back, somewhere down the line, one or more of our ancestors were engaged in mortal combat. If they shirked their responsibilities, you would not be here today. You owe the same obedience and the same allegiance to your family as your ancestors did. Anything less is despicable. That's all I have to say about that.
All right, I totally concur. And unfortunately, we have a number of callers on the line, and they're not muting themselves, so we're getting all kinds of interference. So I'm going to bring them on to quickly make their comments, and then I'm going to take you off. Because you have to mute people. We can hear computers in the background playing the show, and it's time delayed. It's causing a very bad disturbance. Okay, who's calling from 704?
804?
Go ahead, 704.
I'm 704, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Frank. I was just calling, enjoying the show, enjoying the guests. I listen to you when I can. I really just became aware of you, I guess just in the past 2 or 3 months. But anyway, it's interesting. You monitor enemy radio transmissions or TV communications, that kind of thing. I don't. I don't have television. Gave it up many years ago. But I don't know if you listen to any of the local talk shows here in Charlotte, but I can be heard sometimes trying to get out the truth. They usually cut me off pretty quick, but I was on Friday for just a brief moment and basically saying that Israel did 9/11. I could be heard pretty regularly on the local WBT radio station stating that Israel did 9/11 or it was a Mossad false flag operation, that type of thing. But anyway, I enjoy your show and I respect what you're doing. And it's just hard to believe you're in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, actually, I'm in Hickory, which is about 45 minutes from Charlotte. But, you know, more and more people need to do that. You know, I'm always prevented from getting on any of these shows if I call in. And, of course, I have my own shows, and I'm on other shows almost every day. So the only reason I listen to mainstream, July Vision is because I'm trying to figure out what they're telling the sheep so I can counter it. But, yes, more and more people have to do that. And as you do so, you will see how you are censored. It's amazing. You can talk about anything else. You can bring up the Muslims or the Arabs or whatever you want. But if you bring up
the Koran.
You can't bring up the Talmud and you can't bring up the Jews because then you become a hater and an anti-Semite. And that should be a big red flag for people. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And John Stewart, of course, his real name is something along the lines of Leibowitz, and I believe his brother is a key figure on Wall Street as well.
Right.
Very good, Frank. Can I interject, Dr. Carley?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Frank still there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, very outstanding work, brother, to stand up for truth as you perceive it. Dr. Carley says something about the stink bomb, the word hater that they throw out. And I said this before on your show, Dr. Carley, that the language of heaven is truth. Those who call truth hate are liars, and they are of the synagogue of Satan. So, truth, and to speak truth, is incumbent upon all of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always say that truth is hate to those who hate the truth. Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for calling. And I appreciate that info that John Stewart is actually Leibowitz.
Yeah, that's funny.
Obviously, he's a minion, and I just watch him so I can see how they operate, like I said, using humor to get people to laugh about the horrific things that are going on. It's really amazing, and this is obviously, you know, one of their techniques that they use. Okay,
There is nothing funny about the death and destruction and mayhem and the murder of innocents. There's nothing funny about that.
Exactly. Okay, we're getting other callers coming in now. Caller from 707, are you there, caller? Hello?
Yes. Hello. Hi, my name is E.T. I'd like to introduce myself by saying I'm what's left of a useless eating, chlorinated, fluoridated, vaccinated, subjugated, miseducated, mercury poisoned, dumbed down, mind-controlled American zombie slave work unit.
Wow.
But yet you're listening to my show. What a miracle. Go ahead.
Okay, this is just a little quote. This is a quote on Belial. It's the name of, like, the devil. And
yes.
It goes like, Belial can never win for good because he can never resist the temptation of carrying evil to the limit. And whenever evil is carried to the limit, it always destroys itself.
Yes.
After which the order of things comes to the surface again. Whatever evil is doing with the rest of the world, you and I can always work with the order of things, not against it. And I don't want to mention the name of the author because I think it might be controversial with Dr. Carley.
Okay.
No, it wouldn't be controversial with me because it's truth. The only thing I don't disagree with is that we have to sit by and wait for evil to destroy itself.
Yeah.
By the time it does that, we're all toast, okay, because things are happening very quickly. You know, the droughts and the floods and everything else that they're doing, you know, I can't even imagine how many people are going to be homeless by the end of this year. And what's going to happen with all these people who are so desperate, you know, they would kill another person for a can of beans. So,
And this is all by design, Dr. Carley. This is part of their agenda.
Yes, it is.
This is not an accident. This is not a vagary of the capitalist system. This is deliberate sabotage of America.
Yes. As I've said many times on the show before, the last sentence in the 10th Protocol of Zion, it is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments, so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation by the inoculation of diseases, so that the goy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty and money and all else. So it's unfolding as we speak, and just in that one sentence, they basically tell us exactly what's happening now, and as far as I'm concerned, that in itself is proof that the protocols are basically their agenda. And it's happening now. And all we can do is, you know, try to wake up others. And I'm very happy to hear that the caller, you know, has gone through all these various attacks by...
That was poetic, actually.
Yeah, it was excellent. Okay, anything else, caller?
No, you guys take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your contribution. All right, we have another caller from 305. Are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Go ahead, speak up, please. We can barely hear you.
Can I just listen?
Oh, yeah, okay. That's fine. Okay, just mute yourself, please. Okay, so I wanted to mention one other thing, because we actually had somebody state on a recent show, or somewhere it came to me, something about that the scientists have proven that God exists. And I just want to tell people to be very careful when you make statements like that, because, first of all, the Jews control science. And one of the main ways they operate is to actually... Wait, hold on a second. One of the main ways they operate is to basically... Okay, caller, please mute yourself. 305, mute yourself. one of the main ways that they operate is to give out... Okay, I'm going to have to disconnect you because you're interfering. Okay, they put themselves up. One of the main ways they operate is by giving out, disinfo on all sides. It's called confusion. You know, confuse the masses. And another book that was discussed on C-SPAN recently, and this is what I do when I get donations, is I get these books because I need to critique them and show people how they're lying to you. There's a new book out called The Universe from Nothing by Jew author Lawrence M. Krauss. And what he actually says in this book, which is in the dust cover, forget Jesus, the stars died so you could be born. So basically his whole point in this book is to show that God does not exist, that the universe was created from nothing, that there is something rather than nothing. And I just bring it up because, you know, they may tell you that they've, they're trying to find this God particle and other things of that nature, but at the same time, they're trying to tell you that, you know, like I said, forget Jesus, the stars died so you could be born. So that's why it's so important to detox and to get your body's ability to access the innate intelligence in your own DNA. As I said before, when my dog had puppies, I did not have to tell the dog what to do. The dog knew what to do. We have innate intelligence within our own DNA. You can't access it unless you're, you know, detoxified and your brain is working. But that's a very important place to start. And it's very hard to find the truth. A lot of the things that Bill has mentioned, you know, many people would probably say, well, how can you prove that? Because, like I said, the writings in the Bibles, they've been so corrupted and everything. But you just have to figure out what makes sense. So go ahead, Bill, comment on that.
I would say that, first of all, you know, I don't want to go in because I don't want to start any arguments with anybody, but the thing that I would just offer out there is that the books are out there. Some of the best information I've ever ran across, that I ever had the good fortune of being exposed to, reading, fathoming, contemplating, and adopting into my moral framework, were the books in the Apocrypha. And they took the books of the Apocrypha out of the Bible because, quite frankly, if you read those in so many different levels, so many different ways, so many different players from the books, it's quite clear that the Esau Edomite Jews are not the chosen people, and I suspect the ones who cobbled the Bible together that made it past the censor, they knew what were in those books, and no way were they going to abide them being there. They were not going to let the people read that stuff. So don't believe me. If you're interested, research it yourself and see what you come up with.
So obviously it's the Jews that took those books out, correct?
That's my suspicion. Well, basically, my rule of thumb is anytime there's a disaster, anytime there's disinformation, anytime lightning strikes, anytime mayhem, anytime, what's the phrase? Don't let any good disaster go to waste.
Yes.
The point is, anytime something runs awry, my first instinct is to look for a Jew in the woodpile.
Yeah. And actually, that was Rahm Emanuel that said that.
Yes.
And of course, he's from a family of Mossad agents, so
yes.
No surprise there. And I just wanted to mention, it was very funny. I also get the Charlotte Observer delivered to my house every day, and the front page of the Carolina Living section today, Saturday, August 11th, on page 1E. It's a whole page article, and it says fewer profess a specific religion, and the gigantic photograph at the top of the page, it shows a guy, Damon Vix, an atheist, standing next to an atheist holiday display. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been lack of unification of people of conscience. People of conscience! Come on, people. Let's get busy here. Before the break, because it's very hard for us to hear the music, I was talking about the front page of the Carolina Living section, Faith and Values, in the Charlotte Observer today, Saturday, August 11th, where they show an atheist standing in front of his construction, where there's a sign, religions are all alike, founded upon fables and mythologies. And this is a display that he helped build in Santa Monica, California, because the atheists are objecting to nativity scenes. And this is another divide and conquer strategy that they're using. Of course, you know, the menorah can be put anywhere. But just like you were saying before the break, Bill, I don't think people could hear you. Somebody had mentioned on a prior show that the Zionists are atheists. They are not atheists. They are Luciferians. They worship their god, Satan. And this is very important for people to realize because, of course, you know, there are many definitions of the word God, and this is one way that they have totally corrupted our language in order to totally confuse us as well, because one of the definitions of God is a being of supernatural powers, believed in and worshipped. You know, it doesn't have to be a good guy. It can be, you know, pure evil. So this is something they never talk about. When Hillary Clinton talks about the, international religious freedoms thing, she never admits that one of the religions that she's promoting is Luciferianism and Satanism. So it's funny how that just never seems to be mentioned. And although they have preachers in the military, and this always boggled my mind, that, like, what kind of pastors are going to go into the military, to basically give, religious whatever to the soldiers and say, yeah, it's okay, go kill, go follow all the orders you're told to do, it's all fine. But actually it came out a few years ago that there are Satanist priests within the military as well, so they should be very revealing. But, that's one thing, Bill. I don't know what you have to say about the whole idea of pastors in the military actually, whatever they're doing, giving excuses to the soldiers for what they're doing, I don't know. But it sounds kind of a Jew idea to me.
I vaguely recollect what you're specifically talking about Satanist type priests or whatever being in the military. I'm not real familiar with it. It just blows my mind. For those who say, Jews are atheistic, I think that's kind of like a ruse that they put out there to sway the gullible goy Gentiles to say, oh, they say there's no God, so there's no God. In the meantime, in all their Illuminati and dark movements, for example, the Freemasons, Albert Pike was one of their bigwigs a couple centuries ago. He wrote a book, instructing them here in America, Lucifer is our God. Lucifer is who we worship. Lucifer is who we serve. So,
Them to wait a minute. Wait a minute, I got to ask you a question, because I'm actually on a list of a Jew who sends out some good information health-wise, but he sends out a lot of Jew-promoting stuff as well. And they talk about God all the time, only they have it G-D. I never understood that. Like, why is the hyphen in there? What does that mean?
From my understanding, and they're probably scholars, or who know better than me, and I'd be very welcome to listen to what they have to say. My understanding of that is they put on airs of being so reverential, so worshipful of God, that they won't even say his name. They'll go even to the furthest extreme, and they won't even say God. Well, you know what? God wanted us to know his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're supposed to know his name. How can you have a relationship with your Father if you don't even know his name? We're supposed to know his name. His name in Hebrew is Yahweh. I am that I am. That is God's name. And, you know, they've seen...
Yeah, I just always found that very interesting that they put that hyphen in there. Like, I don't know how you pronounce G hyphen D, you know. It's kind of a funny thing. But I never asked that hard question because, like I said, this person does give out some helpful health info, and I don't want to expose myself as somebody who knows what the Jews are all about.
Dr. Carley, take what you know is true and resonates with your soul and leave the rest.
Right. And that's what everybody has to do. And that's why I encourage the listeners, and I say this all the time, and I know we're always getting new listeners, so I will say it again. Don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself.
But because you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Because you know why? By doing the legwork yourself, by doing the homework yourself, you will uncover it and you will know it and you'll know it to the end of the days. By you doing the work, you will always remember it. If someone tells you something, it may flicker for a day or two with you, and over the passage of time, you will lose track of it because you do not do the good work yourself. Do the work.
Well, not only that, but you see, especially where religion is concerned, and I've been trying to figure out how to get the people of conscience together for years, and one thing I've realized is that religion is like, it's like the most ingrained thing. People are raised by their families to be in a certain religion. It's inculcated into them. And if you even bring up a question, they will fight you to the death just for asking the question. And I will give an example of that to you. I did a brief stint as a Catholic. I've gone through many religions. I've said on the show, my family was not religious at all, other than having a Christmas tree. You know, there was no going to church. There was nothing. It was me always on a search by myself. But I did do a brief stint as a Catholic. And one of the things that really amazed me is that while all this pedophile stuff is being exposed, the Catholics are still giving billions of dollars to the pedophile priests and pope, allowing them to continue to do what they're doing, believing that these pedophile priests are doing some, you know, magic ceremony where they're transubstantiating a piece of wafer into the body of Christ, which is basically a bloody sacrifice. You know, eat the body, drink the blood,
makes me
sick. And what I realized is that what the priests are actually doing is they're transubstantiating crimes against humanity into sin. Because then the sin can be forgiven. That's what their black magic is all about. But try to get a Catholic to even consider that. They can't handle it, you know. And go ahead.
I was raised Catholic, too. And my mother told us we didn't have to go to church anymore after the Second Vatican Council in the early 60s. I wasn't sure back then what that meant. I was just glad that I didn't have to go to church anymore because then I could have an extra day to play with my friends. As far as the well-intended, deceived Catholics or Christians go, that's and they're supporting the evildoers. That, I think, is another example of what I refer to about the mushrooms existing in the dark. Their eyes aren't open, but once they do open, they will see.
Right. And let me just mention ITCCS.org, International Tribunal for of Crimes of the Church and State, .org. This is Kevin Annette, who is a pastor, and was kicked out of his church for investigating crimes of church and state, especially involving Native peoples in Canada being raped and murdered and then buried, surreptitiously on the grounds of these residential schools, it's going to get very interesting over the next month, because he has given a deadline of September 15th in regards to the charges that his group, and this is a global group, that they brought against the Catholic Church, the state, especially Canada, but other states as well, and all of the aiders and abettors of these minions. As a matter of fact, he's basically notified them in a letter he put out on July 28th, which you can read on itccs.org, that in the event that the Crown is convicted in this duly constituted court for such crimes as genocide, child trafficking, and waging a war of aggression against indigenous nations, your continued allegiance and service of this convicted party will constitute criminal collusion and obstruction of justice. And this is a message he sent to the police officers, civil surgeons, etc. So all I can say is there are people of conscience doing the right thing. And I want to thank you so much, Bill, for being on the show. We're out of time. Your contribution was magnificent. And people, just please spread the word about the show and do everything you can to wake up the others. Go ahead.
May I say one final thing, Dr. Carly? And that I'd like to repeat, I would like to repeat what I said at the beginning. It was a duty, my duty, privilege, and an honor